The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 19, verses 11 to 27. While they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. He said, "A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So he called and 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. 'Put this money to work,' he said, 'until I come back.' But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, 'We don't want this man to be our king.' He was made our king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, 'Sir, your mina has earned 10 more.' 'Well done, my good servant,' his master replied, 'because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities.' The second came and said, 'Sir, your mina has earned 5 more.' His master answered, 'You take charge of 5 cities.' Then another servant came and said, 'Sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow.' His master replied, 'I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow? Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest?' Then he said to those standing by, 'Take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas.' 'Sir,' they said, 'he already has 10. He replied, 'I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what they have will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me.'" Among works written by the writer Choi In-ho, there is a five-part novel called The Merchant of Joseon. It is about the best merchant of Joseon, Im Sang-ok, who sold ginseng and showed the way of merchant 200 years ago, a time during which merchandising was looked down upon. A part of this novel is similar to the content covered in today's scripture. Actually, it is known to be a true story. It happened when Im Sang-ok was serving as the governor of Gwaksan, located in the Pyeongan-bukdo coastal line. The position he had received for making a significant contribution during the rebellion started by Hong Kyung-rae. The living room of his house was always full of people who wanted to ask for loans. One day, 3 strangers came to ask for loans when Im was trying to start his business day. Im Sang-ok told them, "I will lend 1 yang to each one of you right now. Start and run a business for 5 days with it and leave profit. Based on the result, I will lend you more money." After 5 days, 3 men returned. The first merchant from Hamgyong province came first and said, "I bought haystack with 1 yang and made 5 pairs of shoes. Then I went to the market every day to tell them. I sold 1 pair each day and earned a profit of 1 pun. So I earned 5 pun. 1 yang is equal to 10 pun." The second person from Pyeongan province said, "Yes, I bought bamboo and traditional Korean paper made from mulberry bark and made and sold 5 paper kites every day. Fortunately, it's right before New Year's, so I sold them quickly. In just 5 days, I made up for 1 yang and also made a profit of 1 yang." In just 5 days, he doubled his investment, which is a huge success. The third person came from Hwanghae province and said with indifference, "Great merchant, what kind of business could you do with 1 yang?" "Then what did you do?" said Im. "From 1 yang, I drank alcohol worth of 9 pun and bought a sheet of paper with the other poon. Im Sang-ho made a weird face and asked, "What business did you do with the sheet of white paper?" He replied, "What kind of business could you do with just one sheet of paper? I lent ink and a brush from the restaurant and wrote a request letter. This request letter is an official petition one could submit to the governor at the time." He wrote, "I would like to go to the Buddhist temple to read the 9 Chinese classics. So if the mayor could pay for the fee, that would be great." Then the mayor gave me 10 yang, which I have brought today. Im Sang-wook lent 100 yang to the person who sold shoes and made 5 poon, and 200 yang to the person who sold paper kites and made 1 yang. To the person who made 10 yang with the petition letter, he lent 1,000 yang. Each person wrote an IOU and promised to meet a year after. After watching this play out, one scholar asked Im Sang-wook what he had considered when deciding how much to lend. The person who sold shoes will not face trouble because he is meticulous, but business is not to earn 1 or 2 poons. That is the work of farmers who plant seeds and reaps harvest. So he will not starve, but he won't become wealthy either. So I lent him just 100 yang. The person who made and sold paper kites was more business savvy than the shoemaker. He took advantage of the fact that it's just before New Year's and children play with paper kites. He has an eye for looking for trends. But businesses can fail if you're short-term oriented. You may succeed this time around, but fail the next. He may become wealthy, but not super wealthy. Plus, he only relies on business tactics. Business is not just about strategies. Then, the scholar made a weird face and asked, "The person who drank most of the money and wrote a petition with a sheet of paper didn't work hard at all, and he's rather lazy, even if he came with 10 yang. Why did you lend him 1,000 yang?" "I lent 1,000 yang to that guest because he is not addicted to money. Money comes with the business naturally. If you seek money, then business is doomed to fail." After a year, 3 men returned. The person who sold shoes returned with 100 yang and the interest on it. "I opened a blacksmith's workshop with a loan. Making metal tools is the only thing I know how to do, so I couldn't think of other business options. I made different tools and sold them in various markets." The person who sold paper kites also returned with 200 yang and the interest and said, "I toured the coastal areas and bought salt and dried seafood with the loan. Then I sold them inland all over the country. With the revenue, I bought agricultural produce and herbs and sold them in all parts of the country, which led to a big profit. Now I have 5 fortune-telling houses. This is all thanks to you." But the person who had written the petition to the mayor showed up in a horrible state. He said, "As you can see, I have returned empty-handed. I thought about running away, but I had to keep my promise, so I couldn't. With the 1,000 yang, I went to Pyongyang. Accidentally, I fell for a Korean geisha. In less than 1 month, I spent all the money meeting her. And she gave me 5 yen for me to return. Then, how will you repay the loan? Im asked. I don't have any money. It would be great if I can work at your place to repay it, he said. Im Sang-wook asked again, what will you do from now on? He said, if you give me one more chance, I want to start a business again and make money. Then Im Sang-wook lent him 2,000 yen this time and said, try running a business once again with this money and pay me back after exactly 1 year. Everyone was surprised and thought the great Im Sang-wook had been fooled. But after a year had passed, he did not return. In fact, he did not return after 2 years had passed and 3 years had passed. The rumor that Im Sang-wook had been duped spread in the village. But after 6 years passed, he returned and said, please don't ask why. Send me 10 cows with strong carts and 10 workers to tend the cows. Im did as asked, but there was no news from him. By then, the news that Im Sang-wook had been duped 3 times was the talk of the town. After 10 days, he returned with carts full of ginseng, all of which were high quality, more than 6 years old. The amount of ginseng was more than 100,000 yang. He explained what had happened. With the 2,000 yang, I went back to the girl's house. Each year cost me more than 1,000. One day when I counted the money, I had less than 100 yang left. I made up my mind and bought about 24 kilograms of ginseng seeds in Pyongyang. I went to a deserted land with shades near Taebaek Mountain in Gangwon Province and planted those seeds. Then I ran a tavern with the girl and realized 6 years had passed. So I borrowed 10 cows and 10 workers to visit the mountain again, and it was still unoccupied by people nor animals. So I unearthed all the ginseng. So he and Im split the profit by half, each owning 50,000 yang. Today's scripture is also about lending money. Verse 11 testifies, while they were listening to this, he went on to tell them a parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. The purpose behind why Jesus told this parable is to resolve the misunderstanding about the kingdom of God. Jesus is at Jericho, which is located 25 kilometers away from the northeastern part of Jerusalem. At the entry point, Jesus had opened up the eyes of a blind man, Bartimaeus, according to the Gospel of Mark. Jesus did so because he wanted the spiritual eyes of the disciples to be opened, to realize that their teacher, Jesus Christ, is not a savior of their fake ideology, but that he is the Messiah who was prophesied numerous times in the Old Testament to suffer and die on the cross, but will proclaim death to death and be resurrected. However, disciples could not do so. And Jesus also visited Zacchaeus, who had been inwardly sick, even though he had enormous wealth as the chief tax collector of Jericho. Jesus reminded him that Zacchaeus is also the child of God and the descendant of Abraham. Disciples watched Jesus doing so and thought that once Jesus arrives in Jerusalem, a visible kingdom of God will reign and that they will be among those who contributed the most. Consequently, Jesus told today's parable to correct the false perspective of disciples about the kingdom of God. Today's parable is the only one among Jesus' parables that contains historical episode as its context. Among those who heard the parable, the older ones probably realized, "Oh, that event from 30 years ago." When Jesus was born, Herod the Great was the first to be in charge of Israel. He was from a family from the southern part of Judah, Idumea. He was not Jewish, so to be the king of Israel, he had to enforce certain policies to remain in power for a long time as the king of Jews. He started the real estate boom, constructing multiple cities and retrofitting the pipe system in Jerusalem. Then he also fostered agriculture to lay down the economic foundation of Judah. Around BC 25, there were famines due to extreme droughts. So they even imported massive amounts of grain from Egypt and lifted tax burdens. He even rebuilt the Jerusalem temple to be bigger and fancier because it is considered the hometown of Jewish faith. But his family story was tainted and scarred by doubts, insults, and execution. He married 6 times. He killed his wife, Miriam Nehwan the first, who is known to have been the love of his life, their 2 sons, and even his mother-in-law. Through a trial, he also killed his oldest son, Antipater, born from another wife, for threatening his throne. It is known that he died in extreme pain at his favorite palace in Jericho. Herod the Great died soon after Jesus was born. After his death, his 3 sons divided up Israel and ruled over it. Herod Philip reigned over the northern part, which could be similar to Gangwon province and Hwange province in the Korean peninsula. Herod Antipas reigned over the area of Galilee, which is similar to Gyeonggi province and Gyeongsangbuk-do province. Most of the Herod mentioned in the Gospels is Herod Antipas. Then Herod Archelaus reigned over the remaining part, Samaria and the South Judah, which is similar to Chungcheong provinces, Jeolla provinces, and Gyeongsangnam-do province in terms of the Korean peninsula. But for these 3 sons to become true kings in the places they rule over, they needed an approval from the Roman emperor. 70 years before then, in BC 40, Herod the Great went to visit Marcus Antonius in Rome for his approval. After that, Herod the Great became the king to rule over entire Israel. Herod Archelaus who received the central and southern part of Israel, Samaria and Judea, went to Rome for approval regarding his authority as a king. Among three sons, Herod Archelaus most resembled the tyrannical character of his father. Jewish leaders who were against Herod Archelaus' kingship sent a delegation of 50 representatives to Rome so that they could explain how brutal Archelaus is so that he would not be approved as the king. Consequently, Archelaus was not approved as a king, and he was later called to Rome for dismissal. So Samaria, Judea, and Idumea became a territory of the Roman Empire, and a governor was sent to rule. Governor Pilate, who led Jesus to be hung on the cross, was the fifth governor after Archelaus. This is the historical background on what happened 30 years before, related to the parable Jesus told. Verses 12 and 13 testifies as the following. He said, "A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 mina. 'Put this money to work,' he said, 'until I come back.' People who heard this parable would have remembered how Archelaus gave roles to his subjects and left for Rome to receive his kingship. But the man of noble birth signifies Jesus Christ himself, and he went to a distant country then to return, signifies how he will go up to heaven after resurrection and later return." In chapter 25 of the Gospel of Matthew, there is a similar parable on the talents. While the two parables are similar in that the master hands out money to his servants and later evaluates them, the content is different. In the Gospel of Matthew, servants were given different amounts of talents based on their capabilities, 5, 3, and 1 talents. The same amount of mina was given to each servant in the Gospel of Luke. 1 mina is equivalent to 100 denarius or 100 drachma. Denarius and drachma are currencies used to refer to one day wage of a worker. So 1 mina is equivalent to 100 days of a typical worker. Verse 14 continues to testify, "But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, 'We don't want this man to be our king.'" This verse reminds us of how a delegation of 50 representatives was sent by Jewish leaders who did not want Archelaus to become king to the Roman emperor so that his brutality will be known. Our eternal King Jesus gave each of us 1 mina and told us to put it into work. One talent and 1 mina are both currencies, but 1 talent was equivalent to 6,000 days of a worker, roughly 16 years. And 1 mina is equivalent to 100 days of work. These terms are not typical currencies used at the time. One would refer to smaller currencies in everyday life, such as 1 lepton, quadrant, or azerion, which was the same as 1/16th of a daily wage. So, A mina can be meant to represent everything we have, including our assets. Many people do not realize that to just give a mina and rather live against the Lord. And others admit that to just give a mina but live according to their desires and waste away their lives. But at a decisive moment in their lives, they realize that they cannot do anything with their own strength, and these people surrender and return to the Lord. Today, we will look closely into the master's response to the servants. The first servant returned with 10 times, the second servant 5 times, and the third returned with the amount he was given. The master had called 10 servants, but only 3 appear in the parable. So it seems that the other 7 also has similar results as the third servant. Verse 17 testifies what the master told the servant who returned with the tenfold revenue. "Well done, my good servant," his master replied. "Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities." The servant seems to have good entrepreneurial skills, but the master did not call him capable servant, servant that understands the world, or wise servant. Rather, he called him a good servant. Even though there's no connection between making revenue and good character, the master calls him so. In contrast, verse 22 and 23 testify what the master said after the servant returned with 1 mina, the same amount he had received. His master replied, "I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow? Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest?" The master did not call him incapable servant, lazy servant, or foolish servant, but a wicked servant. Even though there is not much relationship between inability to make profit and bad character. If that is true, does that mean everyone who has failed at business is because he is a bad person with evil character? As the master gave 1 mina to his servants, he did not tell them to use whatever method necessary to make much profit. The master praised the servant who came back with 10 mina by saying, "You have been trustworthy in a very small matter." The word trustworthy is used to describe when someone conducts as told, not when one makes more profit than expected. So the master did not say that he is capable, but that he is good. On the other hand, the servant who returned with 1 mina was considered to be wicked because he worked on things that were irrelevant to what the master had commanded. The word wicked comes from the Greek word poneros, which is derived from a word that means to toil, to be busy. So the Bible considers working for your own desire to fulfill secular desires, not for God, to be wicked. In the story I shared in the beginning of today's sermon, The Merchant of Joseon, Im Sang-wook thought highly of the person who lent 10 yang, 1 yang, and used 9 pun for drinking and 1 pun for writing a petition for 10 yang, and also lent 3,000 yang and used 2,900 yang for hanging out with a Korean geisha, and used 100 yang to buy ginseng seeds and returned with ginseng worth of 100,000 yang after 6 years. If the Lord was Im Sang-wook, would he have praised the man? Probably not. The Lord does not pay attention to achievements. Instead, the Lord would have considered the person two other men as trustworthy persons. One person lent 1 yang to make shoes of hay and sold it every day at the market, and opened up a blacksmith's workshop with 100 yang to make metal tools every day and dutifully sold them at the market. The other person made kites with 1 yang and sold them, and also bought salt and dry seafood with a loan of 200 yang along the coast and traveled inland to sell them. Then he bought agricultural produce and herbs to sell them all over the country. Achievements are results of faithfulness and obedience. Today is the second Sunday of Advent. We are waiting for baby Jesus, who came to earth to give us eternal life. And just as 10 servants who received 1 mina waited for the master to return, we are also waiting for our Lord to return. We all have mina that the Lord entrusted us with. Just as 1 mina is a currency, what we have can be our mina. All parts of our lives, including our families, workplaces, and our capabilities, are our mina. Even serving at the church is our mina. What the Lord, our strength, expects of us, as He gave us the mina, is not results nor achievement, but our faithfulness. The Lord wants to know how faithful we are to the mina He entrusted to us. Chinese characters for the word faithfulness are comprised of the word for middle, focus, heart, word, and accomplishment. Thus, faithfulness is the same as following and acting upon the word, based on your heart at the center. Regardless of the work that the Lord has entrusted you with, if you carry out the work based on the principles of the word, then we will be trustworthy and good servants. Even in our lives where non-face-to-face interaction has become the norm due to COVID-19, may we consider our Lord as the purpose of our lives, especially in this holiday season during which hearts may meander. When we faithfully carry out the word at the center of our hearts, then the Advent and Christmas we greet, we will be a season of true joy. Let us pray. Father God, on the second Sunday of Advent, thank you for informing us that you believe in each one of us and gave us the mina of material, the mina of family, the mina of work, and the mina of service and capabilities. But we confess that at times we consider the mina you entrusted to us as mina to show off ourselves, instead of considering mina as the channel of faithfulness to serve God and uplift people. So at times, you are more concerned about whose mina is bigger, greater and more special. Please help us to throw away the false and improper perspective and look at the Mina given to us through the lens of God's words. And may we always look after whether our Mina is shining of faithfulness and growing through the word truth of God. More importantly, may we become children of God who truly believe that the Lord who gave us the Mina will return to check. May we not become the servant who wrapped Mina in cloth and did not care. Instead, may we be grateful that the Lord is yet to check on it, so that this Advent season is the turning point to turn around our lives with a fresh mindset. Consequently, when the Lord checks on our Mina, may we receive the praise, my good servant. You have been trustworthy in a very small matter. And through us, may we be instruments of God. May we be instruments of God to cleanse and brighten up where we stand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.